Everyone is wrong? Chimpanzees eat meat and fruit, and die for honey. I didn't hear that. I saw it in a nature film about chimpanzees, and then I went and read that this is indeed their diet. The Hawk Law works perfectly here. Yes, everyone is wrong. I have different conclusions, but for Ali and the family, they worked like crazy. If you want to know why vegetables are trash, calm down and read or listen to the end. A close friend told me that I might live to be 120, but he enjoys me much more today. I didn't respond because this bickering annoyed me, I admit. He didn't get the idea. The idea is not to live to the age of 120. The idea is to feel great all the time, peak energy and concentration, without doctors or all the baggage that overwhelms us with a Western diet, to feel like a shell today and not at age 90. And why is everyone wrong? Because there is one way to reach a suitable diet, and that is through evolution and anthropology with a massive use of logic, i.e. free thought. It's a matter of choosing the path and not wisdom. Everything we heard or grew up with must be ignored. It is very difficult and few are able to do it. It's easy for me because it's natural for me to think freely. Understanding nutrition through biology or science alone leads to a dead end. A few years ago, it was difficult to get concentrated and reliable information about nutrition. Today it is possible with the help of Google, ChatGPT, Audible and Amazon Books. Most diets show improvement because they cut out processed food, but that's not enough. The problem is that the re-nutrition from the food we eat is sometimes decades, and then it is difficult to understand what caused it. This poisoning is very slow. Wonders. The great wonder that escapes logic is toxins found mainly in vegetables, roots, leaves, grains, seeds, vegetables and seeds, but also unripe fruits or not of the type suitable for humans. Plants don't want us to eat them. They are different from animals that can run. Their way to prevent this is poisons. Most of the toxins are found in the skin, kernels and seeds, so chewing fruit and vegetable seeds causes the toxins to be released. The fruit wants you to eat it but not to destroy the seeds by chewing them. Chewing an almond, for example, releases some cyanide. The plant stores cyanide in an inactive form called a cyanogenic glycoside, which is basically a sugar molecule with a cyanide group attached to it through a triple bond between carbon and nitrogen. This glycoside is stored in a compartment separate from the enzyme that activates it. When an insect or other animal chews on the plant, the cells are crushed, and the two chemicals mix. The enzyme then cleaves the cyanide from the sugar, releasing the toxic compound. This process is similar to breaking a glow stick to mix the chemicals that make it glow. Therefore, according to the types of seeds, it is possible to understand to which animals the type of fruit has adapted itself through evolution. The seeds of blueberries and the like, which are small seeds, are quite obviously intended for birds. Since humans chew them, the seeds are destroyed, and from this it is clear that avocados are good for us because their seeds are large and the skin is clear, and then you can easily avoid eating them. Most people suffer from a metabolic disease that can be cured by switching to a free diet for at least a year. There is no such thing as sensitivity. The jump in my understanding happened when I read an article that says that the number of celiac patients in the world is increasing. Celiac patients get severe symptoms when they eat products with gluten. Gluten is a toxin of the wheat family, which should prevent various insects and pests from eating the wheat seeds. What used to seem illogical to me is that humanity suddenly develops a problem for a certain element. It makes no probabilistic and evolutionary sense. Something has to change. Indeed, something has changed. First of all, the large seed companies increased the amount of gluten in the wheat seeds through breeding and genetic engineering, and thus the productivity of the farmers in the field increased because fewer pests harmed the wheat. Indeed, since the 1970s, we have seen an increase in the yield of grains per acre by more than 3 times. Although this is not only because of an increase in gluten, but because of this, there is a huge effect that nicely explains the increase in celiac disease. Secondly, the consumption of wheat products is also on the rise, and today we see many people eating wheat products for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Wheat products include bread, pasta, pastries, etc. The free thought came in when it didn't make sense to me that only a small part of people are sensitive to gluten. Celiac patients are 1% of the population, and there are another 10% who are defined as sensitive to gluten. It would seem much more likely to me that gluten is not good for anyone but some people with severe symptoms and some without symptoms. As I read more about it, it all came together. It turned out to me that gluten is a toxin of the wheat and fermentation reduces the amount of gluten. I remembered that I read in your book that on Pesach you don't eat leaven, which means that the whole year they missed the wheat, which means that they reduced the amount of toxins. There is a good reason they missed the wheat all year. It was not a religious ceremony. They probably realized that this way their stomachs don't hurt. And then science, logic, and evolutionary reason all came together. There is no such thing as gluten sensitivity because gluten is not good for anyone, albeit in different degrees. I remembered when I was in Curaçao, an island in the Caribbean, and all the locals on the island were huge people, which is a gentle word for heavyweights. The reason is that they were exposed to wheat and vegetable oil for a few years compared to the white person, and therefore they react much harder than the white person to the Western diet. The white man underwent a kind of natural selection for this diet. Now one can go one step further in thinking and generalize with exceptions. The foods that cause sensitivities to some people are very likely to be toxic to everyone but to degrees that are hardly seen. But over the course of years they cause enormous damage to humanity. And this is exactly free thought at its best. This is the list of foods that many people are sensitive to and are not good for anyone. Wheat, vegetable-based oil, heartburn, peanuts, cow's milk, stomach aches, industrial eggs, sugar, diabetics. And Crohn's and colitis, in my opinion, are other symptoms of increased sensitivity to food that is not suitable for humans. A change to a free diet will lead, and this is my bet, to the disappearance of these diseases. Bread, leavened and not wheat, the human heart will feast on purpose. I start with what is and what is not, because the response is usually, there is nothing left to eat. From your colonies you will bring bread, leaven you will turn, and he will read chapter 23. And the people carried their dough, before it was leavened. The rest of them had a knot in their dress, on their shoulders. Exodus chapter 12. The bread was so important to them that they went with the dough on them. I'm not writing in a religious section. These are to show how important it used to be, and today everyone has forgotten about it. Biologically, fermentation breaks down the toxins in the grains to prevent pests from eating them. These toxins act on humans for years until diseases appear. The earliest archaeological evidence of baking bread and the use of sourdough is found in northeastern Jordan and dates back to 16,000 years before our time, that is, about 4,000 years before the wheat culture. The flour of these breads was composed mainly of wild wheat. Teff bread, the most recommended of the grains for making pita bread. As the Ethiopians prepare today and have prepared in the past, only by marinating with water. Very easy to make yourself. Ethiopians are not just a handsome people. Put flour and water only for 2 days outside. After 2 days you can make fresh bread from it every day. Requires heating for 25 minutes at 180 degrees. When adding flour to sourdough, it is better to wait a day for the flour to ferment. You should always leave a part of the flour leavened, and then the leavening action happens quickly with the new flour. The teff is a small grain. When I exercise free thought, it makes more sense that seeds that have huge amounts of them would be less toxic than larger seeds. Because when there are millions of individuals, each individual has a relatively small chance of survival, so there is no need to poison all the grains like a large grain of wheat, for example. You see it in fish eggs, the chance of an egg surviving is very small, but there are thousands of them, and although the egg is very vulnerable, culture is possible because of the huge amount of fish eggs. As mentioned, this is a gamble and not a scientific theory. Like most things in nature, the use of grains for food was gradual. This study explains why it is important to soak and soak grains. spelled, barley, rye are all similar to wheat and are very problematic because of the genetic changes that have been made to them over the years, as well as the toxins in them, such as gluten and agglutinin, designed to prevent animals from eating the wheat kernels. Humans have undergone selection, evolution, to adapt to breads, but not fully, because these breads kill us slowly, especially when you don't miss them, and kill us at older ages, so there is no evolutionary adaptation. The breads of the past were leavened. We also know this, according to the Jewish tradition, because on Passover they don't eat leaven, and from this we can conclude quite safely that they ate leaven the rest of the year, and they didn't eat leaven because of the taste, but so that it would be easily digested. Just like smoking, it is known to kill, and people smoked thousands of years, tobacco and the like. But smoking kills at relatively older ages, so there is really no evolutionary selection force. The problem with grains is that they are from plants and therefore have toxins to prevent pests from eating them. These toxins cause many autoimmune diseases. Acidification neutralizes a large part of the toxins. Note that there are almost no sourdough breads in supermarkets, unfortunately. Cereals naturally contain toxins to prevent pests from eating them. Genetic and manual improvement amplifies the toxins, because toxins help the seed company's goal, more yield per acre, because pests don't eat the wheat when it has a lot of toxins. It is recommended to completely avoid all wheat products. Wheat is bursting with toxins such as agglutinin and gluten, and also because of the genetic improvement they did to it. Bread, pasta, snacks, etc. are best avoided completely. Reasons to avoid wheat products completely. Teff is much easier to prepare and leaven, and also tastier. Wheat has undergone genetic modification and regular improvement to increase the amount of yield in the field. In practice, they increased the amount of natural toxins in wheat, the same toxins that harm pests but also poison humans. In wheat, gluten, a toxin, damages the intestinal function of all humans, but especially in celiac patients. In wheat, substances, toxins, that damage the body's sugar regulation mechanism. In wheat, substances that damage the sense hunger and damage the metabolism. In normal bread that you buy, the flour has not been acidified, vegetable oil has been added that is just as toxic as wheat, sugar, salt, and sometimes we sin by adding gluten, a toxin called lectin, in wheat, toxins that damage the body's fat storage mechanism. This is exactly why cattle are given wheat and grains to fatten them up. Ripe fruits with a little fructose, yes avocados, yes apricots, yes clementines, yes bananas, yes plantains, cooked, yes we are drawn to sweet, not because it is high in calories, as is commonly believed, since fat actually contains more calories than sugar. Instead, in nature, sweetness is a symbol of non-toxicity. Fruits become sweet only after they are ripe, which indicates that they are safe to eat. However, it is important to choose fruits that neutralize toxins and produce sweetness. Why fruits with a lot of fructose? The fructose content of modern domesticated fruits is usually higher than in their wild counterparts. Humans naturally adapted to the wild fruits. This is due to several factors, plus selective breeding. For generations, humans have selectively bred fruits to be larger, sweeter, and tastier. This has led to an increase in the sugar content, including fructose, in many cultivated fruits compared to their wild ancestors. Plus farming practices. Modern farming techniques, such as the use of fertilizers, pesticides, and irrigation, have allowed for more consistent and abundant fruit production. These practices can contribute to an increase in fruit size and sugar content, including fructose, plus genetic modification. In some cases, the fruit has been genetically modified to improve specific characteristics, such as sweetness or size. This can lead to a higher fructose content in the genetically modified varieties compared to their wild relatives, plus ripening and storage. Fruits are often picked when they are not fully ripe and then ripen during transport or storage. This can lead to a different sugar profile, including higher fructose levels, compared to fruits that ripen naturally on the plant. In hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, we were exposed to little fructose, hence the problem. In yogurt and fermented milk products, there are intestinal bacteria that help break down fructose as well, so it is recommended to eat fruits with them for those who suffer from a fructose digestion problem. Bifidobacterium, lactobacillus, fruits only become sweet after they have ripened to indicate that they are non-toxic. There is a process in fruits that neutralizes the toxins and produces sweetness. Each fruit adapted itself before captivity to a specific animal or number of animals. From this, you can understand if the fruit is suitable for us or not and when. The science of specific ripe fruits are the oldest food for humans and apes. Humans have evolved to be able to consume and digest a wide variety of foods, including fruit and other sources of fructose. However, it is worth noting that the human diet and environment have changed significantly over time, and the modern diet contains much higher levels of fructose than what was consumed by our ancestors. There is fructose in fruits, and science shows, contrary to logic, that high concentrations of fructose are not healthy for us. There is an enzyme called proctorins or absorption assistant GLUT5 which in some people is produced less over the years and can lead to digestive problems of many fruits. There are many studies on fructose and its effects on human health. Here are some key findings. Excessive consumption of fructose, especially in the form of added sugars in processed foods and beverages, has been linked to an increased risk of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other metabolic disorders. Fructose is metabolized differently than glucose and can lead to increased insulin resistance and increased blood sugar levels, especially when consumed in large amounts. Some studies suggest that fructose consumption may increase the risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD, a condition in which fat builds up in the liver and can lead to liver damage. High levels of fructose consumption have been linked to increased inflammation and oxidative stress in the body, which can contribute to the development of chronic diseases. Some studies have suggested that consuming fructose in the form of whole fruits may be less harmful than consuming it in the form of added sugars, as the fiber and other nutrients in whole fruits may help reduce some of the negative effects of fructose. Specific fruits: most fruits in nature will kill us if we eat enough of them. The fruits suitable for humans to eat are a very small part of the fruits in nature. The common mistake is when you see a ripe fruit in a supermarket, but it only tastes good and looks good because it was picked from the unripe, unripe tree and cooked by ethylene gas or in some other unnatural way. The ripe and slightly rotten fruits are better for us than the perfect fruits that were not eaten by various pests and were picked unripe. The toxins, mainly in the peel and seeds, in the unripe can cause inflammation of the appendix and a host of other problems. They are designed to prevent eating the fruit before it ripens because otherwise the tree will not reproduce. When the seed in the fruit is fertile, the fruit is ripe after a complex chemical process. Fruits that must be picked when they are relatively ripe and therefore safe: blueberries, wild strawberries, cranberries, avocados, pineapples, oranges, clementines, lemons, red grapes. Climacteric fruits that are usually cooked with ethylene gas and therefore recommended to be avoided, unless they were picked ripe from the tree: watermelon, melon, mango, peach, figs, plum, kiwi, banana, lychee, and others. In unripe fruits, heating and cooking will lower the toxins but will not increase them. It is recommended not to eat the peel of the fruit and not to chew the seeds. Note that fruit seeds have a bitter taste because they are poisonous to us. Fruits that identify the seed and do not chew it are recommended: cooked or baked plantain avocados. They should be ripe before. There is nothing to worry about overripe fruits. That's exactly why humans developed the ability to break down alcohol, a byproduct of ripe fruits. It also shows that we are adapted to eating ripe and even slightly rotten fruits. Bottom line, humans are adapted to eat sweet ripe fruits with a tendency to rot, exactly the opposite of beautiful unripe fruits, which is what we are sold in the supermarket. Honey, yes, unprocessed honey, like milk, is intended for consumption by the bees and does not contain toxins. From ancient times, it was used to heal wounds. In my experience, it works better than iodine. Good point. The flowers want the bees to take the nectar from them and thereby pollinate the plant. It happens when the flower wants to be pollinated and the bee recognizes the timing when the nectar is non-toxic. You just have to be careful because it has a lot of fructose. Eggs. Yes, and I would completely avoid chicken eggs for the following reasons. Unless the chicken eats insects and its natural food is free-range, eggs cause many people different symptoms and sensitivities. There is usually a reason for this. Chickens do not eat the food they are supposed to eat, and are not where they are supposed to live. This is certainly reflected in the quality of the eggs. All the industrialized food in the world is probably not suitable for humans. Eggs are also on the list. In the process of breeding chickens to lay a lot of eggs, the material in the eggs also changed, so humans were not exposed to it. A similar process happened with the wheat to prevent pests from eating it. I have not tested scientifically, but I have seen that chickens live in harsh captivity conditions of dirt, diseases, and serious injuries. It is possible that the eggshell is not sealed and it absorbs toxic substances into it. In addition, the chickens receive large amounts of antibiotics on a regular basis to prevent morbidity. Dairy products. Yes, only from goats, only goats' dairy products and preferably acidulated, fermented or aged. Yogurt, butter, cheeses and kefir. Acidifying the milk makes it much more suitable for humans. Unlike plants, milk is intended for consumption but not for humans. At the same time, logic says that it is suitable for humans. Fermenting milk can make it more beneficial to humans in several ways. Here are some reasons for this. 1. Improved digestion. Fermented milk contains beneficial bacteria called probiotics, which help break down lactose and facilitate digestion. This is especially important for people who are lactose intolerant, as they are unable to digest lactose themselves. 2. Increased availability of nutrients. Fermentation can increase the availability of certain nutrients in milk, such as vitamin B12 and folate. These nutrients are important for overall health and well-being. 3. Lower lactose content. The fermentation process also reduces the lactose content of milk, making it more tolerable for people with lactose intolerance. Improving taste and texture. Fermented dairy products, such as yogurt and kefir, often have a tangy, creamy taste and texture that many people enjoy. Overall, fermenting milk can make it more nutritious, easier to digest, and more enjoyable to consume. Better to avoid cow's milk products altogether. It is important that the milk products come from natural pastures and not the kind of mixtures that the animals receive in cages. Reasons for X on all cow's milk products. Contains a large amount of beta-kaizon A1 protein. Humans ate most of the years of evolution beta-kaizon A2. Beta-casomorphin 7 BCM7 is a peptide produced when A1 beta-casein is digested in the digestive system. BCM7 has been shown to have opioid-like effects, which means it can bind to opioid receptors in the brain and nervous system. Some studies have suggested that BCM7 may be associated with a variety of health problems, such as gastrointestinal discomfort, inflammation, neurological disorders, and heart disease. It is worth noting that BCM7 is not present in A2 beta casein, which is why some people may choose to consume A2 milk as an alternative to traditional cow's milk that contains A1 and A2 beta casein. Cow's milk is completely industrialized. All industrialized foods, soy, wheat, corn, oats, cow's milk, eggs, are not good for us both in research and logically. This is on a probabilistic level. A cow receives food that is not suitable for it to produce a lot of milk and also grew up in abusive conditions. A study that compared the Maasai tribe that ate meat and cow's milk compared to a similar tribe that was vegetarian. Vegetables and leaves. It is better to ambush the vegetables and leaves with toxins and anti-mineral absorption agents that are harmful to us. Most vegetables are bitter or sour, so they signal to us and other animals not to eat them. If you insist on eating vegetables, then only cooked really well. There is no point in eating vegetables thinking that they are healthy for us. The opposite is true. There is no such thing as healthy food. There is food suitable for us, and vegetables and leaves were part of the human diet only during food shortages and not by free choice. Vegetables that are best avoided: cucumber, potato, corn, tomatoes, eggplant, pepper, pumpkin, and zucchini. It is better to steam, an article about vegetables and leaves. Reasons to avoid vegetables and leaves. Humans hardly ate vegetables and leaves in ancient years, these for medicinal purposes or when there was no choice. Vegetables are bitter or sour, and this is a natural sign of toxicity. There are many different types of toxins in plants. Nutrient inhibitors, lectins, oxalates, tannins, protease inhibitors, phytic acid, cyanide, hormone disruptors. Plants want to kill you. Plants cannot run away like the rest of the animals, so they developed a mechanism to prevent them from eating, mainly by toxins, and this is the main way of defense. Both science shows this and logic. The defense mechanism of plants was not developed to prevent humans from eating them, but small insects and animals. Therefore, the effect of these toxins is often too slow to link that this food is not suitable for humans. Cooking and heating, a mechanism that plants have not encountered in evolution, destroys a large part of the toxins, but not all. All nutrients are found in meat, fish, milk, and some fruits. This shows that these are the nutrients we are built on. The minerals and vitamins in plants are absorbed less well than meat and fish. For example, iron from a meat source, heme iron, is absorbed much better than iron from a plant source, non-heme. Explanation about iron. Most of the plants will kill most of the animals. A small part of the plants are eaten by a small part of the animals. A koala must eat a eucalyptus leaf and neutralize its toxins. Any other diet will kill the koala, and the leaves of the tree it eats will poison the rest of the animals, including us. We need to look at plants more like medicine, in small doses and with great care, and only in cases of illness. Plants have absorption inhibitors of important minerals. Cabbage, for example, disrupts the thyroid gland and its treatment with iodine. It makes sense that we don't need leaves because they lack calories. Spinach, kale, bok choy, lettuce, and all green leaves. Seeds, some of the food that is harmful to us mainly because of the natural defense mechanisms of the seeds. You need soaking, acidification, germination, and cooking to reduce the toxins. Lectins are part of plant toxins. It is recommended to really avoid flax, poppy, chia, sesame, and tahini. Rice, only for Asians. Rice is the kind of grain that you don't miss, but it has known toxins that don't break down just by heating. In addition, the Asians probably developed a digestive system more suitable for digesting rice after being exposed to it for thousands of years more than the white man. An example of genetic adaptation in some Asian populations due to specific food exposure is the increased prevalence of ALDH2*2, a variant of the aldehyde dehydrogenase 2, ALDH2, gene. This genetic trait is associated with a reduced ability to metabolize alcohol, leading to a condition known as alcohol reaction or Asian wash. The variant is most commonly found in East Asian populations, including those of Chinese, Japanese, and Korean descent. The prevalence of this genetic trait may be related to historical consumption of rice-based alcohol, such as sake and soju, which have a relatively low alcohol content compared to other alcoholic beverages. The reduced ability to metabolize alcohol may provide a protective effect against excessive alcohol consumption and alcohol-related health problems in these populations. Studies do show that Asians are more sensitive to milk because they have not been exposed to it like the white person. The prevalence of lactose intolerance varies among different populations and ethnic groups. In general, East Asian populations tend to have a higher prevalence of lactose intolerance than populations of European descent. It is estimated that approximately 70-100% of East Asians suffer from lactose intolerance, while the prevalence among people of European origin is lower, ranging from 5% to 20%. The lectin found in rice is called Oryza sativa agglutinin, or rice agglutinin. This protein can bind to specific sugar molecules and is involved in various biological functions within the plant and is designed to prevent pests from eating the rice seeds. Rice agglutinin is mainly found in the outer layers of rice grains, such as the bran. Just like gluten, it probably harms humans. In a completely free thought, because there were genetic changes in the white person and not the Asians according to exposure to a certain food, the opposite also happened, that is, the Asians had genetic changes to support the digestion of rice. Here is a study that Asians had a genetic change in digesting seaweed. In addition, rice is not acidified and is known to contain a toxin called agglutinin. When cross-referenced to the fact that rice makes me uncomfortable, it can be concluded with a high degree of probability that rice is not suitable for the white person or for a person whose ancestors were not exposed to rice. Roots. All roots have toxins that need to be neutralized. Not good for everyone, but if so, then just steam or cook. Sweet potato, Jerusalem artichoke, artichoke. In doubt. Onion, garlic, shallot, leek, fennel, radish, radish, and all mushrooms, yucca root. The logic is simple. Roots in evolution added toxins that prevent pests from eating them. Heating and cooking probably lowers most of the toxins, but in people with damaged intestines, these toxins will do great damage to various systems in the body. Salt. Avoid all types of salt as much as possible. Humans got along great for millions of years without adding salt. My Life Among the Indians, page 82. I have never encountered Indians who use any kind of salt, not even to dry meat. According to the law of the burden of proof, it is very likely that adding a new ingredient to the human menu harms health. Salt has been added to the menu for the past thousands of years and in an ever-increasing manner in recent years for all types of food. Research that shows how salt damages the digestive system and the good bacteria in the intestines. Natural salt adds to the freshness of the food and is probably harmful to us. Processed salt, probably the cheap salt you consume, is even more harmful to us. An interesting question is our love for salt, is it an acquired taste or inherent in us? From the research linked above, it seems that the love of salty foods is acquired and therefore we have no real need to salt foods other than the desire to preserve the food. For most of the years of evolution, we did not eat salt. Therefore, the logical conclusion is that we do not need salt and it does harm the millions of processes in the human body according to Tool 7 in Tools for Freedom. Nuts. To minimize eating all types of nuts, they have no shell and a little shell due to phytic acid, except for peanuts and their nuts, which are legumes, and which of them is better avoid? It is better to soak for a day in water with salt and dry. This is how they once ate. Legumes. Prefer to reduce the consumption of chickpeas, beans, lentils, etc., or soak for 24 hours and cook for 3 hours. Studies show that not all people digest different types of food equally, the Asians more adapted to algae and rice, for example, from the European man. It is possible that there are people who know how to avoid the legume toxins from areas of the world where they were probably exposed to them. I'm sure I'm not among them. Algae. To thin the algae as the vegetables and leaves. If at all, boil all types of algae in water for a few minutes. It is recommended to check that you are not sensitive to algae. Not all people have a sufficient amount of enzymes and intestinal bacteria suitable for breaking down algae in a good way. Drugs and alcohol. The problem with drugs is that they play with our most important organ, the brain. That's why I would recommend not messing around with any kind of drug. It is quite clear that drugs do long-term damage to our brain. A moderate amount of alcohol is acceptable. It's not for nothing that drugs and alcohol are involved in most of the most violent and brutal crimes. Avoid at all costs all unleavened wheat products, bread, buckwheat, pasta, pastries, all oils, eggs, cow's milk, processed salt, preservatives, corn, oats, sugar, beans, peanuts, potatoes, sugar substitutes, caffeine, antibiotics, and stomach acid reducers. Also, completely avoid meat substitutes. Bread and milk are completely processed and much less good for us than the original. Only evolution with reason. All attempts to reach a suitable diet for humans failed because they tried to go through science or through emotion. Trying to understand what is healthy. But the solution comes only through evolution, the history of man, the human ape, and the exercise of logic, because we have no way of knowing exactly what they ate and in what quantities. Arriving at a free diet, a diet suitable for humans, is mainly through evolution and anthropology, as well as with the help of self-experiments, reading studies, reading books, free thought, and watching nature. Every animal, including humans, needs to eat what it ate in its past. We know today what the ancient man's diet was, also according to the remains found on the teeth of skeletons, as well as from studying by observing the tribes that live today in different parts of the world. Imagine a person walking around outside. The most available food for him is the animals. From the smallest animals like insects to the biggest like deer. In the rest of the foods, we compete with birds and various pests that ate them before us, such as the war over the fruits against the birds. Indeed, most fruits are adapted to be eaten by birds. You don't need wisdom to eat an apple, but you do need wisdom to hunt a squirrel or a deer, and therefore you see the development of the human brain over time, both in terms of adapting to a living environment that is getting harder and harder, and also in terms of the need for cooperation and hunting. We were separated, we invented agriculture, and we united. Humans left Africa in several waves, beginning about 100,000 years ago. The agricultural revolution happened 9,000 years ago after we were separated. This necessarily means that there was an individual adaptation to the environment and diet, because there was supposedly a long separation between the different groups without much mixing, as well as the invention of agricultural methods and the breeding of animals and plants. That is why we see different skin tone, adaptation to different thin air, and many other features that evolution had to adapt to different environmental and social conditions. There are three types of foods. Good for everyone. The diet we left Africa with, good for some people. A diet that some have adapted to over the years, such as beans and South Americans, not good for anyone. A diet that no one has adapted to. It is best to stick to what humans have eaten since ancient times, meaning the oldest food, good for everyone, fruits, fish, meat and honey, and only then grains of various kinds, good for some people. Non-animal, fat is not good for anyone. Poisoning or just aging. When you analyze the data on the distribution of diseases in Western society, you can't help but see the symptoms of poisoning, in my opinion, by the toxins in plants. Diabetes, arteriosclerosis, arthritis, obesity, and a host of autoimmune diseases. The appearance of these diseases, but also in 30 to 40 year old hunters, should have seen the signs of these diseases, but they do not, not even in the preserved tribes. Today we live to a very old age and therefore probably see the effect of the toxins from the food. Here you will read an article where it is clear that the writer is guessing what to eat. There is no free thought here. Veganism is the opposite of a free diet, in my opinion, because even though it has logic, compassion for animals, and preservation of the environment, so to speak, it is not suitable for humans because it contains plant toxins. Veganism, like other types of nutrition, is very valuable when it does not include processed food and sugar. According to all the information I've seen and analyzed, man is built to eat mainly from animals. We see it as nice that meat and fat do not increase our sugar. For humans, high sugar is destructive to all body systems. The important question is how many years we have been exposed to this food. Meat entered our diet a few million years ago, bread from 7,000 years ago, and canola oil only from 40 years ago, so it is quite clear what the chances of compatibility are for each of these foods. In addition, humans migrated and dispersed around the world, and thus their diet was adapted to where they were, and not necessarily to what they were supposed to eat. For example, in South America, the diet was mainly corn and potatoes compared to Japan, where the diet was fish and rice. Indeed, we see great differences in the life expectancy of the Japanese compared to the South Americans, in ancient times and even today. Rice is an excellent example of a specific food that only Asians were exposed to. A study that shows that there is a difference between humans in the digestive system, as well as a study that shows the ability to digest seaweed for Asians. Today we know that corn and potatoes have many toxins, and this makes sense because they have developed defense mechanisms against pests. A potato has no period when it wants pests to eat it, similar to fruits. Science shows that cooking does not remove all the toxins from the potato, although of course the evolution of the potato did not take into account the trick of heating. When humans began to use fire to cook and roast food, and thus their menu expanded to roots, vegetables, legumes, and the like, food that they would not eat without the use of fire. Of course, the heating did not remove all the toxins from the plants, therefore additional methods were developed such as soaking, sprouting and fermentation in order to be able to consume these foods. Poisoning can do anything basically and give it signals at any time. In my opinion, the whole of humanity is poisoned by plant toxins. There is no way that humans can eat so many types of plants when each plant has hundreds or dozens of different toxins. It is no coincidence that children do not like vegetables and leaves. They often show a natural aversion to bitter, spicy and sour flavors, which probably shows toxicity. Therefore, aversion to flavors has developed through natural selection. Our natural instinct is to dislike spicy, bitter and sour because it symbolizes toxicity. Sweet and fatty symbolizes ready to eat, and this is critical to free thinking about nutrition. An instinctive preference for sweet and fatty tastes may reflect a willingness to consume safe and easily digestible foods. Hunter-gatherers, who lived before the advent of agriculture, seem to have fewer of the chronic diseases that plague modern societies. Many researchers believe that their health deteriorated once they adopted farming methods, which suggests that the change to an agricultural lifestyle may have had unwanted consequences on human health, similar to slow poisoning and not just the effects of aging. It is seen that populations that transition from living in the wild to modern life are most vulnerable to modern food because they were not exposed to it like us for several thousand years and therefore did not undergo appropriate genetic adjustment. For example, Aboriginal people are many times more vulnerable to diabetes, high blood pressure, heart problems and more. This shows that the modern diet is basically not good for anyone, but for those who have not been exposed for thousands of years, it is even more harmful. Native Americans are more sensitive to alcohol because they had no choice, evolutionary introduction to it, but the white man also suffered from such addiction and damaged his ability to have children. Before the agricultural revolution, humans relied on a diet of fruits and animal protein, which provided a balanced variety of nutrients. Some evidence suggests that they had stronger bones, healthier teeth, and a lower incidence of chronic conditions such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease than modern humans. However, with the transition to agriculture, the human diet focused more on grains, fruits, and plants, leading to an increase in carbohydrate consumption. This change in dietary habits contributed to a decline in overall health, as people became more susceptible to nutritional deficiencies, dental problems, and chronic disease. While the agricultural revolution enabled the development of complex human societies and the growth of civilization, it also had a significant impact on human health. It seems that the transition from a hunter-gatherer lifestyle to an agricultural one led to an increase in chronic diseases and health problems, reminiscent of slow poisoning and not just the effects of aging. Excellent article about cyanide in plants. Don't stretch the no muscle. We are not built to resist temptation all the time. That is why it is recommended to simply not put food within reach that you do not want to eat. Cigarettes are also better just not seen if you want to stop. Regarding the question of whether to expose children to unhealthy food at home? Unequivocally, no. Now read on. For children, resisting temptation is usually more challenging than for adults, making it especially helpful to minimize exposure to unhealthy options at home. There are several reasons why children will have a harder time saying no to temptations. Impulse control not developed children's brains, especially the prefrontal cortex responsible for decision-making and impulse control, are not fully developed. As a result, they often struggle with self-regulation and are more likely to give in to immediate desires instead of considering long-term consequences. With a limited understanding of consequences, young children may not understand the potential negative consequences of unhealthy choices, such as the impact on their long-term health or the risk of developing chronic diseases. This lack of understanding makes it difficult for them to resist temptations. Strong influence of external stimuli. Children are very sensitive to stimuli in their environment, including visual cues, smells, and tastes. When faced with tempting, unhealthy options, they may have difficulty resisting due to their heightened responsiveness to these stimuli. Peer pressure. Children can be heavily influenced by their peers and may feel pressured to indulge in unhealthy choices if their friends do. This social influence can make it more challenging for them to say no to temptations. Emotional connection to food. Children may associate certain foods with comfort, love, or reward, making it difficult for them to refuse these items when they are available at home. By reducing the presence of unhealthy food options in the home, parents can help their children avoid these temptations and make healthier choices more accessible. This approach not only supports children in developing better eating habits, but also sets them up for long-term success in maintaining a balanced and nutritious diet. Humans are by nature vulnerable to temptation, and sticking to it all the time can be challenging. Studies and examples from everyday life indicate that one effective strategy for avoiding unhealthy habits or addictive behaviors is to eliminate or minimize exposure to the source of temptation. For example, when it comes to food, studies have shown that people are more likely to consume unhealthy snacks when they are easily accessible. Wansink, Painter, and Lee, 2006. By keeping such items out of sight or not purchasing them at all, people can make them less likely to become addicted. Instead, placing healthier food options, such as fruits and vegetables, within reach can encourage better eating habits. Similarly, for those trying to quit smoking, research suggests that avoiding visual cues or reminders can be helpful. A study by Tiffany and Drobs, 1991, found that people exposed to smoking-related cues experienced stronger cravings for cigarettes. Thus, keeping cigarettes out of sight and avoiding environments where smoking is common can support people in their effort to quit. Understanding our innate susceptibility to temptation can help us devise strategies to resist it more effectively. By reducing exposure to unhealthy or addictive stimuli, we can make it easier for ourselves to maintain healthier habits and behaviors. Another explanation for poisoning and not just aging is that populations that transition from living in nature to modern life are the most vulnerable to modern food because they were not exposed to it like we are for several thousand years and therefore did not adapt genetically appropriate. For example, Aboriginal people are many times more vulnerable to diabetes, high blood pressure, heart problems, and more. This shows that the modern diet is basically not good for anyone. But for those who have not been exposed for thousands of years, it is even more harmful. Native Americans are more sensitive to alcohol because they had no choice, evolutionary introduction to it. But the white man also suffered from such addiction and impaired his ability to have children. Substitutes in a non-scientific spirit. Although it's not me so much, nature doesn't like to be fueled. And there are beautiful mechanisms against the fueling of nature. One of which is happening today when the world is warming because the natural environment on Earth is being destroyed. We are not supposed to consume unfermented gluten products, clean sugar, caffeine, and meat that is processed or grown in unnatural conditions, and what is beautiful is that the substitutes are often much more toxic to us than the original. In scientific words, substitutes for common foods such as milk, sugar, gluten, and meat are not recommended because they are often concentrates, and they are not as healthy as they are marketed. They often have negative effects on our health. Most of the concentrates known today are not good for us because in the years of our evolution we were not exposed to concentrations. If we take tahini as an example, a 100-gram portion of tahini contains about a kilogram of sesame. It is quite clear that eating a kilogram of sesame makes no sense. And the problem is that sesame contains natural toxins that are supposed to prevent pests from eating it. Sesame concentrate contains a concentration of toxins. The worst of all is an oat-based milk substitute, particularly toxic oats. Milk alternatives such as almond, soy, or rice milk are actually a concentration of these products, which have natural toxins, and in their concentration we are actually consuming a concentration of these toxins. Also, the substitutes lack essential nutrients found in cow's or goat's milk, such as calcium, vitamin D, and protein. Studies show that plant-based milk may not provide the same health benefits as cow's milk, and substitutes contain toxins found in soy and almonds. Sugar substitutes like artificial sweeteners can help reduce calories, but some studies have found they can lead to weight gain, diabetes, and other health problems. Natural sugar substitutes like honey or agave syrup still contain calories and can contribute to weight gain if consumed in excess. The right way is simply not consume products with added sugar. You get used to it quickly. Sugar substitutes only work on you. Most likely they are not really better than sugar. The only substitute for pure sugar is zero pure sugar. Gluten-free products are important for people with celiac disease. People with gluten sensitivity, which is basically everyone, it is better to stay away from industrial gluten substitutes. Gluten is present in types of wheat, and the correct way is to avoid wheat altogether and not to try to substitute with substitutes. Gluten-free foods can be high in calories, sugar, and unhealthy fats. Meat substitutes such as soy-based products, seitan, or plant-based hamburgers are basically a concentrate of soy, pea, or another plant, and usually contain a concentration of the natural toxins in soy, pea, or other plants. Humans are not adapted to eat from the plant unless it is a ripe fruit or has undergone a process to remove the toxins such as acidification or prolonged heating. Why? Oil. Say, not skinny. We are born with the ability to be good in almost every field. This also includes the field of mathematics. To excel in math, you simply have to spend hours practicing, while to be at a healthy weight, it's simple to eat what suits us as humans, regardless of the quantities. There are individuals with genetic problems that cause an inability to learn math or with chronic metabolic diseases that cause them to be at an abnormal weight. Being at a normal weight basically means not suffering from a metabolic disease. The body has a complex mechanism that knows how to bring us to an appropriate weight. Just like the hundreds of mechanisms that support sugar, vitamin C, and sodium levels, this is called homeostasis. The body wants to be balanced, and this is also true for weight. One of the signs of a metabolic disease is hunger shortly after meals and a weight that is very different from the weight we were at the age of 18. How exactly does genetics help? Genetics does help to eat things that are not suitable for us and not get fat from it, but anyone who eats food suitable for humans will be at a normal weight. Genetics actually helps us not to get a metabolic disease. The weight stabilization mechanism no longer works well, despite poisoning the body with food that is not suitable for us. But genetics also work up to a certain age. It is seen as beautiful when at a certain age people are no longer at the weight they were before. It seems from science and logic that what is important is what we eat so as not to spoil our weight stabilization mechanism and not the quantities. After all, let's say a bird that encounters 100 tons of cherries won't swell up and won't be able to fly. The genes of these birds protect it. A bird without this defense mechanism is no longer in the wild, but if we give it a substance that confuses its weight stabilization system, like transgenic corn, it is possible and reasonable that you reach a weight where you cannot fly and run away from crazy people. There is nothing like an experiment to prove it. Do an experiment on your dog. Give him as much moving or cooked meat as he can eat. See if he gains weight. Give him some dog food that he can eat and see what makes him fat. Basic signaling, signaling about thirst and hunger. Just like you trust your body to signal when you are cold or hot, and you don't check exactly what the temperature is. That's exactly how the body knows to signal to us if it is hungry or thirsty, and it should listen to him. Sometimes in illness, the body signals a reluctance to eat, and this makes perfect sense. During illness, the body prefers to direct its energy to fighting and not to digestion. One of the problems is a metabolic disease in which the body actually loses the ability to signal to us that we are full. The only way to be cured of this disease is by eating food that is adapted for humans. Years of eating not adapted to humans causes metabolic disease. Everyone gets it at a different age. The same principle applies to drinking as long as you don't confuse your body with caffeine, alcohol, or other altering substances. The bottom line that comes from logic and science is, Drink water when you're thirsty and eat when you're hungry. In a free diet, you eat less carbohydrates and more meat and fish. Therefore, it is important that you do not be afraid to eat much more meat and fish than you were used to. Eat until you are full. Wait for signals that you are no longer hungry. Why doesn't the body signal to us that we are poisoned? The body does signal to us, and its way is the ability to differentiate between bitter, sweet, spicy, sour, as well as using the sense of smell. Smelly food is most likely spoiled and we will not eat it. It's a primal instinct that has developed over millions of years of evolution. You must be asking yourself, so how does spicy taste to me? Or how does bitter wasabi taste to me? And of course, how does a cigarette taste? After all, they are not adapted to humans. In the short term, it didn't kill me, so bring more. There are many systems in the body that also lack substances that the body knows how to direct first to where they are needed for the near term, usually brain and energy, and only then in the long term, bone strength and more. You see this in osteoporosis. In this article, Professor Bruce Ames explains the theory of routing minerals and vitamins. With a cigarette, another mechanism of bias from a chemical substance works. The nicotine gives the brain a good signal and then we associate it with the cigarette and get, I like it. The cigarette wants to kill us but the brain associates it with something good because of the nicotine. The body thinks short term. The body has a natural mechanism that gives us a desire to continue eating food that we ate and did not kill us. Give the child spicy enough times and he will start to like spicy. The test is in the initial taste and this is seen in children. They want fat and sweet. Poisoning from plant toxins can manifest itself in different ways and at any time, which makes it a common and worrying issue. Humans are exposed to a wide variety of toxins from plants, since each plant can contain hundreds or even thousands of different toxins. Research has shown that repeated exposure to certain flavors can change a person's taste preferences over time. For example, a study published in the journal Appetite found that children who were repeatedly exposed to vegetables they initially disliked were more likely to develop a preference for those vegetables over time. In conclusion, plant toxins may pose a significant health risk, and children may exhibit a natural preference for sweet and fatty foods. However, repeated exposure to certain flavors can change taste preferences, and it is important to be aware of the potential long-term health consequences of prolonged exposure to certain substances. Signaling about beauty, we know from a young age to notice that straightness looks good and straightness is sick. They immediately recognize that shapely is beautiful and fat is not beautiful. White teeth are beautiful and yellow and brown teeth are not beautiful. Why were we born with such abilities? We receive a signal about beauty from the brain because such beauty shows fertility, something that gave an option to transfer our genes. Does the body know how to signal a lack of minerals and the like? Like animals licking mineral reserves when they feel a lack, is the desire for salt something similar with us? Do we have a thirst for minerals like a thirst for water? Desire for meat? There is a signal about fresh and hot food that tastes best to us. And for good reasons, it is easier to digest, more nutritious, and with less bad bacteria. In my opinion, and this is a bit of a gamble, the body knows how to signal a lack of minerals by wanting to eat meat mainly. I personally sometimes feel it. I don't eat many types of food at the same time, for example, pickled teff bread with fish, beef with bone marrow, or goat yogurt with roasted plantains. I believe that flooding the world with many types of food blurs the signal to eat a certain type of food that contains minerals that we lack, but as mentioned, this is a bet I make because I see the animals that lick mineral stores and our love for salt, and it also makes sense from an evolutionary point of view that animals would feel a lack and want to eat from food that has the ingredient they lack. How is sourdough bread and goat yogurt suitable for humans and still sour? Good question. Bread or any other grain that has been leavened is suitable for us even though it is sour, and the logical explanation is that it is new in our evolution. It is probably one of the exceptions, and indeed in sourdough there are many lactobacillus bacteria that we recognize as expected as sour. The same is true of sour yogurt for us, but it is much more suitable for us than milk, because of the lactobacillus bacteria. The leavened bread will only be good for us after baking, while the yogurt does not require heating. While both sourdough and yogurt involve lactic acid bacteria and their fermentation processes, the specific bacteria involved are usually different. Yogurt is made primarily by fermenting milk through the action of lactic acid bacteria, specifically Streptococcus thermophilus and Lactobacillus bulgaricus. These two species of bacteria work together to convert the lactose, the sugar in milk, into lactic acid, which thickens the milk and gives yogurt the characteristic sour taste of yogurt and a product with bacteria, but this time they're good for us. In contrast, sourdough relies on a mixture of wild yeast and acid bacteria milk, such as those from the Lactobacillus and Leuconostoc genera, to ferment the dough. Although there may be some overlap in the types of lactic acid bacteria present in sourdough and yogurt, the specific bacterial species and the fermentation processes involved are usually different, resulting in different tastes and textures. Experience is worth a thousand studies. Try it for yourself, everything that is written here. For example, drink 2 glasses of cow's milk compared to 2 glasses of goat's milk. If you have a certain sensitivity to one of them, you will feel it immediately. Try to eat freely and see if it makes a difference for the better. You will not lose anything from this experience. In the long run, this is a crazy profit, exactly what a free thought is looking for. A minimal energy investment and a huge profit. Experiments that do not do much harm are great because they are both reliable and an experience that is usually remembered. Science shows that the casein A1 type protein in cow's milk increases the sensitivity to milk and not lactose. Casein A2 protein has always been present in goat and sheep milk. Somewhere in history, a mutation was created in only European cows that caused them to give more casein A2 protein in milk. In my opinion, this mutation also affects the health of the beef. There's nothing like an experiment. I bought normal milk in the US and also milk that is only type A2, and my daughter and I both drank a glass of milk at different times. My wife was angry with me for doing experiments on our daughter, but I calmed her down and said it was for the benefit of humanity. After we both drank the regular milk, my daughter and I had a stomach ache and she also had a headache. After we drank the A2 milk, we were free of symptoms. Of course, she didn't know what kind of milk she was drinking. Science, observation and logic came together. In Israel, it is impossible to buy only type A2 milk. Another experiment that you should do, eat 1 kilo of beef and then a day later eat 1 kilo of fish or 1 kilo of lamb and you will see the difference in feeling. Be on the right side of the bet. That our distant ancestors ate, and logic does not show that they were wrong. It's actually being on the right side of the bet. Because we don't know exactly what is suitable for us to eat. But when you bring a new food that contains a new substance and ask, does it heal or poison us? There is a 9,999 to 10,000 chance that it poisons and a 1 to 10,000 chance that it heals, because there are millions of things happening in the body chemical processes, and the chance that you found a new substance is a slim chance. Which side of the bet do you choose? Give the human body some credit for knowing how to do without spinach or kale or superfoods. This is exactly how evolution and natural selection work, by finding the right way out of thousands of other ways, but it is unlikely that this or that superfood improves the millions of processes in the body, and there is no way that you are the ones who just found this way. The recommended daily amount of minerals and vitamins RDA is wrong absolutely. Because it is based on people who eat plants that have toxins that inhibit the absorption of iron and many other important minerals. The big secret in nutrition is, in the end, we enjoy most types of food equally. It only takes a few days to get used to the new diet. There isn't a person who hasn't changed their mind at least once in their life about a certain food, so you can probably understand what I mean. Humans are adaptive, which means that what we do on a daily basis, in the end, we usually get used to it and like it. So the thought of, I can't change what I eat now, is incorrect. Humans are not adapted to eat most types of food, even if the food is natural and tasty. A diet that is good for some people affects everyone differently because of a person's genes and environment, just like character traits are affected by the environment and genes. In nature, humans hardly mixed carbohydrates with protein and fats. This is what causes the metabolism problem in modern society. The humans who lived in the wild, hunted an elephant, ate it, and after a few hours when they were hungry, they ate fruit. Mixing carbohydrates with protein and fat causes the problem of sugar and obesity. The meat digests for a long time, and during this time the sugar is high because of the carbohydrates. The Indians and the Aborigines, including people who have not seen modernization, get sick much faster than Western people on a Western diet. It shows that we have evolved a bit in order to cope with the Western diet. But at the same time, this shows with certainty that the Western diet poisons us. Otherwise, it would not be possible for these two groups to have a different effect. Most forms of nutrition, such as ketogenic, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, carnivore, show an improvement in health because they reduce the consumption of processed food, but there in which problematic ingredients, plant toxins, and in particular in whole grains, cow's milk, and more. Ignore the numbers 24 grams of protein. You must have read that we need 200 grams of protein, 59 grams of carbohydrates, 25 grams of fat per day, or anything strange like that, to maintain our health. But the human body is much more complex than that. He knows how to store minerals and vitamins and give us a feeling when something is missing. When you hear dietitians or doctors talk as if the human body is a recipe for cake, just ignore it. In the millions of years of evolution, man survived without counting how much meat, fruit, or bread he ate. Usually, the advice of these people is the opposite of what you should really eat. They will often say, "need a carb," at every meal. Of course, the opposite is true because the body will break down fat and protein much better when there is no carbohydrate in the area. This is due to the acidity needed for the enzymes to work optimally in the stomach. For carbohydrates, a relatively low acidity is needed, and for the breakdown of fats and proteins, relatively high. The financial price of eating freely a free diet is not more expensive than a normal diet. On the contrary, it can be cheaper. A kilogram of teff costs about Nis 20. When you make the bread yourself, it costs the same as buying bread at the supermarket. There is a saving on all sugary drinks of all kinds because you only drink water. Fruits and goat yogurt cost the same in a normal diet, and in a free diet, it is unnecessary to buy organic. Bottom line, a free diet may cost a little more in the short term, but it will save you a lot of money on health expenses and care for your body, mind, and teeth. Being sick costs a lot of money and is unpleasant. The food test: can we eat food without cooking, heating, or using chemicals? If so, and the food is not bitter, spicy, or sour, then it is good food for us to eat. It is better to cook food before eating it, but this is only to see if it is good for humans. This does not mean that we should not eat other foods, it is just a way of knowing what is good for us. For example, wheat cannot be eaten without heating and grinding, so it is less suitable. Fish and meat can be eaten as they are and therefore adapted to humans. The logic behind the test stems from the fact that humans have used fire and heating food extensively for only a few hundred thousand years compared to a few million years of evolution in the apes. Therefore, we are quite adapted to eat raw food, unheated or bushel. Such food, which is heated or a bushel, should be checked. Do not eat toxins instead of the legend of detoxification. Our bodies are equipped with natural detoxification mechanisms that work effectively without the need for special workshops. In fact, the body is constantly eliminating toxins, not just during specific events or places like weekends in Mitzpeh Rimon. It is important to understand that we are meant to consume solid food that requires chewing. The main idea is not to poison our body from the beginning, and we achieve this by adhering to a free diet. Chewing activates the release of various enzymes in our digestive system, promoting efficient digestion and absorption of nutrients. On the other hand, consuming mixed or ground food may lead to rapid absorption and cause an increase in blood sugar levels, which is not ideal for our body. As a result, many nutritional shakes may not be necessary or beneficial for us. Furthermore, our bodies are not naturally adapted to process a mixture of fruits, nuts, and vegetables at once. This dietary pattern was not common in human history, but only developed in recent years. As a result, it is essential to approach our diet from the perspective of evolution, science, logic, and, in short, free thought. There is food that is suitable for humans and food that is not. The definition, healthy food, or superfood, are not logical definitions. The way humans eat when there is only grass around is the magic about goats and sheep. They eat grass and then we can eat their milk products or them. That's why humans were always close to goats and sheep in ancient times, because really finding grass is much harder than finding fruit, and they hardly ate vegetables. Yes, everyone is wrong about milk cow. Eating fermented goat's milk has been seen for thousands of years. There are archaeological sites that show cheese production as early as 9,000 years ago. The difference between cow's milk and goat's milk in terms of our ability to digest them is in a protein called casein. Alpha-S1 casein and alpha-S2 casein proteins are subtypes of casein found in the milk of various mammals, including goats, sheep, and cows. The composition and ratio of these casein subtypes can vary between species, breeds, and even individual animals. A 1-beta casein is present in milk from certain breeds of cows, such as Holstein cows, and it is also found in sheep's milk rather than cow's milk. When digested, a 1-beta casein may release a bioactive peptide called beta-casomorphin 7, BCM7, which has been linked to gastrointestinal discomfort, inflammation, and slowed gastric emptying. And here's the interesting point. Beta-casein A1 and A2 are two versions of beta-casein milk protein. The genetic mutation that resulted in version A1 is estimated to have occurred 5,000 to 10,000 years ago. The genetic mutation that led to version A1 beta-casein involved a single amino acid substitution in the protein chain. This seemingly small change changed the way the protein breaks down during digestion. In my opinion, this mutation also affects beef. And it occurred in European breeds of cattle, especially Boss Ox. The original beta-casein protein in cattle was of the A2 type, which can still be found in some traditional cattle breeds, such as the African and Asian Boss Indicus cattle, as well as in certain Boss Taurus breeds such as Guernsey and Jersey cows. Goats. Goat's milk generally contains a lower proportion of alpha-S1 casein compared to cow's milk and sheep's milk. Some goat breeds even produce milk with little or no alpha-S1 casein. The alpha-S2 casein content in goat milk is usually higher than alpha-S1 casein, which gives goat milk its characteristic properties and for some people makes it easier to digest. Sheep. The alpha-S1 casein content in sheep's milk is generally higher than in goat's milk, but it varies between breeds. The alpha-S2 casein content also exists, but the exact ratio between alpha-S1 casein and alpha-S2 casein can vary depending on the breed and type of sheep. Cows. Cow's milk usually contains a higher proportion of alpha-S1 casein compared to goat's milk, when the content of the alpha-S1 casein varies between breeds. Holstein cows, for example, generally have a higher alpha-S1 casein content than Jersey cows. The alpha-S2 casein content is also present in cow's milk, but the ratio between alpha-S1 casein and alpha-S2 casein depends on the breed and genetics of the cow. Logic shows that goats are preferable because it is easier to raise goats in mountainous areas and also the history of man was accompanied by goats. Proverbs chapter 27, Vedi, and when science and logic agree, then the chances for the truth of things are high. A chef's restaurant is the method of preparation in the diet, what matters are the ingredients. Although the method of preparation is not always significant, certain processes, such as acidification and fermentation in grains, are essential for eliminating toxins. It is important to observe food combinations from the same family, as digestion can change based on the presence of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. For example, types of meat together, or fish make sense. Gourmet restaurants often give priority to taste and make without considering the nutritional consequences of their dishes, using different ingredients and preparation techniques that may not be optimal for our health. Therefore, it is recommended to exercise caution when eating at such restaurants, where the taste may outweigh the nutritional value. For example, when it comes to meat, the quality and origin of the meat, such as grass-fed lamb, are more important than the way the raw material is prepared by the chef. I personally really don't like small, unidentifiable dishes. On the contrary, I like large dishes that I know for sure what's in them. There is a kind of general order to it. You are poisoning your dog. Pets were never exposed to corn, soy, wheat, oats until the food companies put these products in their dry food. Consumption of grains containing toxins leads to negative health effects in dogs and cats for the following reasons. Plus reduced absorption of nutrients. Anti-nutrients such as phytates can bind to minerals such as calcium, iron and zinc, reducing their bioavailability and making it difficult for pets to absorb the essential nutrients these. Over time, this can lead to nutrient deficiencies. Plus digestive system disorder. Certain anti-nutritional substances, such as lectins, can irritate the lining of the digestive system, causing symptoms such as vomiting, diarrhea or abdominal pain. This is especially true if the grains are consumed raw or improperly cooked. Plus allergies and sensitivities. Some pets may suffer from allergies or sensitivities to specific grains, which can cause inflammation and distress in the digestive system. Grains such as wheat and corn are common allergens for dogs and cats. Plus inflammatory response. Certain anti-nutrients can contribute to inflammation in the body, which can worsen existing health problems or lead to the development of new ones. Pet food manufacturers are aware of the potential risks associated with toxins and anti-nutrients, but they are much cheaper than salmon or chicken. And yes, the vets are wrong. Grains: the following grains are only soaked for 48 hours and fermented for 48 hours and then cooked. Millet, sorghum, amaranth, fonio, wild rice and some white rice, mainly for Asians. I don't believe we've evolved enough to be used to eating them. All other grains, avoid them completely. As the ancients sang and missed, you need to remove their problematic toxins from the grains. Grains are like seeds and they don't want to be eaten, so you have to perform an action that they weren't ready for in nature. Animals do not know how to soak, marinate and heat. By soaking the seeds think they will germinate and therefore a mechanism of detoxification is activated. In leavening, bacteria such as lactobacilli break down the toxins, as well as cooking which destroys some of the toxins. Free thought helps us understand that our ancestors did not leaven bread because of the taste, but in order to avoid health problems and so that the bread would be preserved longer. Today, in most places where there is wheat, it is genetically different and is not fermented, hence the problems. Animal fat, yes, beef butter X, may be problematic because of NOI 5GC. Goat butter VX may be problematic because of NOI 5GC and also because it is actually a concentrate from the milk. Fish oil VVV helps exposure to be used because of omega-3. Goose and duck oil V, they have almost no NOI 5GC and therefore safe. VX cow fat may be problematic because of NOI 5GC. It's not just that humans like the taste of fat. It does not raise blood sugar and is the most energetically efficient. Tribes in the pole living on a diet of fish and animals alone do not suffer from high blood pressure or any heart problems. This is conclusive proof that animal fat is not the problem in Western society. It may be problematic for some animals. Oil and vegetable fat. For oil from any plant, XXX olive oil, X canola oil, and other vegetable fats are actually concentrated forms of toxins found in plants. These oils have only been introduced into our diet in recent decades, and humans have not historically consumed these substances in large quantities. Studies show that these toxins can harm human health. Furthermore, heating vegetable oil can further increase its toxicity. It is therefore surprising that many people consider olive oil a healthy food. In reality, there is no such thing as a healthy food or a superfood. Rather, some foods may be more suitable for some people or circumstances than others. As far as olive oil is concerned, It is important to note that it is made from unripened bitter olives that may contain a significant amount of toxins. As such, it is advisable to use olive oil in moderation, but in any case, it is better to choose animal oils, which are suitable for humans. Vascular diseases, including heart diseases, are accelerated by sugar and vegetable oils and not by animal fats and oils. One of the causes of them are the small ones, which are proteins found mainly in plants and grains that are supposed to prevent them from being eaten by animals. An article on lectins and the damage to the blood vessels. Wesson, Paul. Olive oil. History, production and characteristics of the world's classic oils. A study on the use of oils. Throughout history, olive oil has had many documented uses. All cultures used olive mainly as lamp fuel, and this was its greatest value. Many ceremonies involved the use of olive oil, including the anointing of royalty, warriors, and the general public to the religious. The term Messiah means the anointed one. Fragrant olive oils were used to offer offerings to the gods, as salves to cure diseases, and to make the skin and hair look healthier. The Greeks ritually poured olive oil on the athlete's skin and then scraped it off with the sweat and dust after the competition. It was also used to make soap and sanctify the dead. There is very little existing documentation of the use of olive oil for human consumption. Fish, such as sea fish v. sardines in water without preservatives v. tuna in water without preservatives v. seafood v. fish from ponds x. The types of fish that exist today are closer to the types of fish that were eaten in the past, more than the types of meat that exist today, and therefore fish sea or fish caught in the wild and not in ponds are the most recommended. It is recommended to consume sea fish, preferably those with high fat percentages, and avoid pond fish. Pond fish are usually fed grains, soy and other substances that are not natural for fish, which makes them less nutritious. Studies have shown that wild-caught fish is the best choice, as it contains many beneficial substances, including high levels of omega-3 fatty acids and iodine. Humans are well adapted to eating fish, and can even be consumed raw without side effects, indicating that they are suitable for human consumption. In addition, allergies to fish are relatively rare, and an allergy to a certain food often indicates its toxicity. Also, it is recommended to eat grains and fish separately, instead of combining them in the same meal. This is because they have different digestive requirements and may not be optimally absorbed when eaten together. In summary, consumption of sea fish is recommended due to its high nutritional content, and fish caught in the wild are preferred over fish raised in a pond. Allergies to fish are rare, and fish can be consumed raw or cooked. Eating grains and fish separately is also recommended for optimal digestion and absorption of nutrients. Meat. Yes, it is good for us to eat herbivores and not mixed eaters that grew up in pastures. Chicken, duck, goose, goat, buffalo, elk, deer. The human body is built for a meat-based diet to break down fat. You can see it in the 5 different organs that have to work simultaneously to break down fat. Even cows that eat grass, the final product that is absorbed into their blood is fatty acids that are formed from fiber by bacteria in their intestines. They chew the grass and add saliva to get a new surface for their gut bacteria to break down the fiber into fatty acids. That's why it's no surprise that eating fat makes digestion easier. To downplay eating poultry or animals that eat grains such as soy, barley and corn, the basic rule is that if it doesn't say on the package that they ate only grass, then the cow or chicken got food that is not suitable for them. In Israel, it is not known at all what it is, but in the US it is very common to write it down. Only then you buy they are not built to eat these grains, and some of the toxins of these grains pass to us through their meat. The internal organs and fat of the animals are the most nutritious parts. It is important not to mix grains and carbohydrates with meat and eat them separately from each other, several hours apart from each other. It can be concluded that we are adapted to eat goats because for thousands of years we grew up with them. It is not just that your book says, "Do not cook a goat in its mother's milk." It refers to not mixing types of food together. This is how we have lived for millions of years, and only in modern times do we mix everything from everything. A description of human societies that ate mostly meat. There is a difference between the meat they once ate and the meat of domesticated animals. Unlike sea fish, which are identical to what they once ate. And despite the differences, it's still close enough. You can't eat exactly the way the hunters ate. Paleolithic populations consumed mainly animal protein, game meat, usually from vegetarian animals such as cattle that lived in herds, including deer, bison, horses, and mammoths. The nutritional profile of this meat is significantly different from the meat available in modern supermarkets. Modern meat contains much more fat in the form of subcutaneous adipose tissue, connective tissue surfaces, and fibers within the muscle itself. Domesticated animals have always been fatter than their wild counterparts due to a consistent food supply and reduced physical activity. Recent feeding methods and rearing have further increased the fat content to meet consumer preferences, soft and juicy. As a result, the percentage of fat in today's slaughtered animals can reach 25 to 30% or more. In contrast, a study of 15 vegetarian African animal species found their average fat percentage to be 4%. Not only is there more fat in domesticated animals, but also its composition is quite distinct. The main reason for this difference is the mixture that is given to domesticated animals. But in the US and other developed countries, you can get meat from animals that ate only grass and not a mixture. Fat from wild animals contains 5 times more polyunsaturated fatty acids than fat from domesticated animals. Furthermore, animal fat includes a significant amount, about 4%, of eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, a long-chain omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acid known for its protective effects against atherosclerosis and malignant diseases. Domesticated beef contains only trace amounts of EPA. Wild animal meat has fewer calories and more protein per unit weight than domesticated animal meat, although the amino acid composition of their muscle tissue is similar. Since the cholesterol content of fat is similar to that of muscle tissue, the cholesterol content of wild animal meat is not expected to be significantly different from supermarket meat. Slaughter a holy cow? There is a problem with cow meat because NUG5 is found the most in beef. Therefore, it is not suitable for humans. The industrial cow of today was searched relatively recently for man compared to goats that were domesticated 10,000 years ago. Cows have been improved and are a whole industry compared to the goat industry. Therefore, it seems better to bet on goats and not cows. All the food of the big industries, chicken, eggs, soy, wheat, rice and milk are not good for us, so probably beef too. The Indians are right that they treat cows as sacred. NOI-5-GCN glycolylnaraminic acid is a type of sialic acid, a sugar molecule found on the surface of cells in many mammals, including cows, sheep and goats. However, humans do not naturally synthesize NOI-5-GC due to a genetic mutation in the CMAH gene during evolution. Instead, humans produce a similar sialic acid called NOI-5-ACN acetylnaraminic acid, NOI-5-GC, present in most types of meat. It is a problematic substance when our intestines are injured, in a large part of the population, and possibly even when they are not injured. It is mainly found in fat and internal organs in cattle. In beef, it is present in high concentration. In sheep and goats, it is also present, although in smaller amounts. Although the science is not conclusive about it, I am of the opinion that it is better to avoid red meat, beef, if possible. A study that examined the effect of NOI-5-GC in animals. Humans have been exposed to NOI-5-GC for hundreds of thousands of years. A study on the Maasai tribe, for example, that lives on the meat, milk and blood of cattle and goats, and no cancers were found in it. Between the two Maasai tribes, it was found that there were more problems of cartilage erosion than the corresponding tribe that did not eat meat. This could be a hint that red meat can cause joint problems. In mammals that produce NOI-5-GC, it plays a role in various cellular processes, including signaling, adhesion, and cell recognition. Sialic acids, such as NOI-5-GC, are sometimes involved. Close in interactions between cells and their environment, and contribute to essential biological functions. In humans, NOI5GC is consumed through eating red meat, and mainly cow's milk products. After ingestion, NOI5GC is absorbed into tissues, despite the body's inability to synthesize it. The immune system recognizes NOI5GC as a foreign substance and may trigger an immune response, producing antibodies against NOI5GC. This immune response can lead to inflammation, which is hypothesized to play a role in various health problems, such as cancer, heart disease, and other chronic conditions. There is evidence to suggest that NOI5GC may have an effect on the joints, which may contribute to inflammation and joint-related conditions. My bet is that it is a somewhat problematic substance for humans, leads to toxins in humans. When our intestines are more injured, there is a lot of it entering the bloodstream, and in people who know less how to deal with it. Asians, for example, who were not exposed to cows like a white person was not exposed to rice. Therefore, I would recommend reducing everything related to products that come from a cow. Who needs minerals and vitamins when there are nutritional supplements? It is important to understand that a lack of minerals and vitamins is a symptom and not the problem. The problem cannot be corrected by nutritional supplements because it contradicts the central law. You cannot fight nature, and it is very dangerous to be clever with it. It is possible to correct the expression only by eating freely: fermented grains, meat, fish, goat's milk products, and ripe fruits. Dietary supplements are not absorbed in the same way as they are absorbed from the food we consume, and there are hundreds of subtypes and forms of minerals. For example, iron from plants is very partially absorbed compared to iron from animals. Animals that ate grass have many more minerals and vitamins than animals that ate grains and a mixture to make them fat. These are all the animals marketed in supermarkets. If you eat food that is suitable for humans, based on animal food and fruits mainly, there is no need for nutritional supplements. Most vitamin and mineral deficiency problems are caused by absorption inhibitors, toxins, of minerals present in vegetables, leaves, nuts, roots, unripe fruits, mushrooms, and leaves. These repellents are designed to prevent animals from eating these plants. Most of the vitamins and minerals we need are found in the meat of animals that ate grass and fish from the wild. The minerals that are usually lacking: iodine, iron, B12, zinc, omega-3, Q10 are mostly due to a plant-based diet. Seeds, grains, vegetables, leaves, nuts, and mushrooms. In my opinion, vitamin D supplements are unnecessary because vitamin D is found in animal fat, and that's where you should get it. You are the little that is needed. It is true that the body produces vitamin D when exposed to the sun, but most of it is to protect itself from the sun and not for vitamin D deficiency. Probiotics are probably completely unnecessary because without the right food for intestinal bacteria, they will die, and studies have shown that the most important thing is what you eat that will affect the intestinal bacteria. Most people in the modern world lack iodine due to eating little fish caught in the wild. Pondfish contain a small amount of omega-3 because there is almost no algae in the ponds, and the fish get the omega-3 from eating algae. Reprocessing of the land. In Israel, there is no good test for iodine deficiency and no suitable iodine supplements. Due to the use of chemical substances in identical crops, the quality of the soil is deteriorating and harming the quality of the vegetables and fruits you consume. I don't eat vegetables at all. The degradation of the soil causes a lack of magnesium, zinc, iodine, and more in the food we eat. Tap water usually lacks essential minerals, so it is better to drink mineral water. If you are afraid that there are ants, insects, dust, soil, and natural things in the food you eat or where you live, be calm. They do not harm us. On the contrary, they even strengthen us. Avoiding them causes allergies of all kinds and not diseases as you fear. Most people lack iodine in the body, and this lack causes problems including fatigue, constipation, and depression. Correcting the deficiency is one of the easiest ways to treat an imbalance in the thyroid gland. Iodine deficiency results from the repeated use of cultivated and sprayed agricultural lands and the lack of eating algae and marine fish. Recommendations for a certain daily amount of vitamins and minerals, RDA, assume that people on a Western diet, where carbohydrates are the majority of their diet, they are not correct for those who eat food suitable for humans. In animal food and fruit, the absorption of minerals and vitamins is much greater than plant, and internal organs of meat and fish have the most necessary vitamins and minerals that are difficult to get from other sources, liver, brain, heart, etc. It is better to mix as little as possible and separate animal food from plant food. Separate fat and protein from carbohydrates. This is how the ancients ate. Food that looks natural is one of the most dangerous because it is deceptive. For example, potato, rice, beans, watermelon, which are not recommended because they are full of lectins. Natural food is not enough, because you have to eat, for example, fruits when they are ripe, as well as some of the vegetables, but because of the extension of their shelf life, they are picked unripe and cooked in unnatural ways so that their natural substance, lectins, which protects them from premature eating by pests, remains in large quantities. Cooking, heating, and fermentation usually lowers the amount of lectins, but not enough. The critical point here is that minors are not good for anyone, but for some of us it affects more severely and with different symptoms. Try not to mix carbohydrates, protein, and fat, and not to mix food types at all. In nature, they do not appear together, only in KFC. Mixing causes heartburn in people many, especially if the fat is vegetable or the plant's toxins cause heartburn. Note that there is no heartburn when you eat only meat, and it doesn't matter how much fat it contains. It is recommended every day at least one meal without carbohydrates, fruit, bread, cereals, etc., to regulate the mechanism of controlling sugar and ketones in the body. Ketones, or ketone bodies, are a type of organic compound that the body produces when it breaks down fat for energy. This usually occurs when there is a shortage of glucose, the main source of energy for cells, such as during fasting, low carbohydrate intake, or prolonged exercise. When glucose levels are low, the liver breaks down fatty acids into ketones as an alternative source of energy for the body and brain. There are three main types of ketone bodies: acetoacetate, beta-hydroxybutyrate, BHB, and acetone. Ketogenesis, the process of producing ketones, is a normal metabolic response to low glucose availability. However, high ketone levels can be dangerous in certain conditions, such as untreated diabetes. In this case, a life-threatening condition called diabetic ketoacidosis, DICA, may occur, which requires immediate medical attention. The state of ketosis, in which ketones serve as the main source of energy, is the basis of a ketogenic diet. These diets are high in fat and low in carbohydrates, and they aim to induce and maintain ketosis for weight loss, improved mental focus, and other potential health benefits. Once most meals were without carbohydrates, and today all meals always have carbohydrates. It's just a matter of habit. In the modern diet, consumption of fats and protein with carbohydrates confuses our body systems and sends strong signals to the brain. In nature, there is no combination and there was no such thing. Therefore, our brain reacts to it in the extreme. In thousands of years of evolution, they ate fish and then after a few hours fruit. There was no fish with rice and olive oil with bread in the same meal. The reason lies in the fact that in this mixing, both the amount of fat increases and the sugar in the blood increases, a rare phenomenon that the body does not deal with well and a phenomenon that is not accepted in gathering food and hunting. Check yourself with a blood sugar test. When the carbohydrates are processed and the fat is processed and unnatural, the fat and blood sugar rise more to the extremes. This can be confirmed by seeing that diabetics have very high percentages of arteriosclerosis, that is, people with high blood sugar most of the time. In this study, you can read about people who live as they used to and suffer almost no heart problems in old age. The industrial food companies are targeting this bug: chips, pastries, chocolate, and adding oil to almost everything. Smoothies and juices are not good for us. The shakes are a distillation of all the sugar from the fruit. We are supposed to chew and are not built for these amounts of fructose when the fruit is liquid. Another thing that supports the fact that our body is not built for carbohydrates together with proteins and fats is a different pH environment that is needed for the various enzymes to break down carbohydrates versus fats and proteins. Breaking down fats and proteins requires a higher acidity than breaking down carbohydrates, and of course you can't achieve both of these values at the same time. Read about what acidity each type of enzyme needs here. Mixing foods also includes drinking water near the food. It is better to drink an hour after eating or an hour before. There are no studies or science on this, so I exercise free thought and assume that the ancients did not have water available all the time and therefore we evolved not to drink while eating. It makes sense to reduce acidity by diluting gastric juices. Why isn't there a natural choice for sphagnum food today? For the past 10,000 years since the agricultural revolution, there was a natural choice to deal with the new diet of wheat, milk, roots, etc., but there are also problems. In those years, not everyone was exposed to the same food, and only in recent years have they exposed all humans to all foods. The white man was not exposed to rice, and the Asians were not exposed to wheat. The blacks were not exposed to wheat and milk, and it is indeed seen that they are much more sensitive to milk and fattening than wheat. A diet that usually kills after the age of childbearing, such as wheat, legumes, potatoes, smoking, etc., but causes suffering before, does not affect evolution, so it is also difficult to understand that it is not adapted to my generation a person. In years gone by, the average age of small hunters was 40, of city dwellers 50, so today's diseases, which are actually a form of poisoning, seem unrelated to the aforementioned diet. These populations often died from infections and violence rather than from today's diseases. Fasting only on Yom Kippur. Human evolution was characterized by many cases of food shortages. Studies indicate that caloric restriction and fasting can lead to increased longevity in animals. Mattson et al., 2017. Mitchell et al., 2016. Humans are also able to survive without food for several weeks, thanks to our adaptive metabolic processes. In some cases, fasting has been shown to help treat certain medical conditions. DiCabo and Mattson, 2019. However, our body is trained to signal when it needs nutrition and when it does not want to eat, so it is important to pay attention to these cues. Although fasting may offer some benefits, it may also lead to unnecessary mental distress. For example, fasting for 3 days to prolong life by 3 days cannot be a beneficial trade-off, as it results in 3 days of starvation. A more practical approach to optimizing nutrition and health may include implementing an eating window or intermittent fasting, Gabel et al., 2018. This method allows the body to experience short periods of fasting while providing necessary nutrients and avoiding excessive mental stress. 2 meals a day with an eating window of up to 10 hours. You can use logic and in addition check on ourselves what feels most comfortable for us. Among some Indian tribes in the plains region, it was traditional to eat 2 larger meals a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. This was usually supplemented by smaller snacks throughout the day. This practice was partially influenced by their nomadic lifestyle, which was based on hunting and required them to be mobile and flexible in their food intake. Similarly, some indigenous communities in Africa, such as the Maasai, have a pattern of eating 2 larger meals a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. The Maasai diet traditionally consisted mainly of milk, meat, and cattle blood. Hawke's Law. Check on myself and the laws for profit. There is the Hawke's Law. When I look at myself, the most rested and feels natural to me are 2 large meals a day. I generally eat 2 meals a day, one at 6 in the morning and another one at 1400. It's not exact, but usually. Big meals, not small ones. There will usually be leavened teff bread straight from the oven. I noticed that when I eat a lot of small meals, I don't feel alert and energetic. You can't ignore that. Scientific studies show that there is an advantage to eating up to 10 hours a day, let's say from 10 in the morning to 6 in the evening. Eat 2 to 3 concentrated meals a day and wait 5 to 6 hours between meals, of course in concentrated meals. The wait between meals is the time when the stomach empties. In addition, science shows that not when you don't eat at least 2 hours before going to bed. Logically, think about how you used to eat. Do you think you ate all day? It's important not to eat at least 4 hours before you go to sleep. That way sleep and digestion will be much better. That's how the ancients also used to do it. Testimony of a person who lived with the Indians in America are known to have eaten 2 meals a day. My Life Among the Indians, George Catlin. According to his testimony, they were magnificently built, upright and happy, including white and straight teeth, without toothpaste, lived on buffalo meat, corn and fruits. These are of course the Indians who did not come into contact with modernization. There is also a logical reason. In free thinking, we look for the facts with logic, and not just think, oh, that's how the Indians ate. The logic is that by eating we injure the intestines, just like in running when you injure muscles and joints, and you need to give them time to heal. The more processed and unnatural the food, the more injured they are. Eating in the window resembles eating in the past, when they were busy getting food and taking care of shelter for the children. From an evolutionary point of view, our body is not built to eat all day, and we see this when high sugar levels damage all body systems. Eating all day inevitably means that our sugar will be high all day, especially if we mix carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Here you see again that science connects with logic and observations, and then there is a beautiful free thought. Are the parents always to blame? A convenient diet for parents such as cornflakes with milk is quite clear why it is popular. It can be prepared at any time, ingredients are preserved in the refrigerator, and it is even easy to clean the dishes. Of course, this is not suitable for children and harms their health. Unfermented grains and cow's milk are not suitable for humans. What has been proven is that each person has a final ability to say no. Therefore, the only way to get children to eat suitable food is to bring home only food that is suitable for humans. The body wants to survive today. Tomorrow is less interesting for the evolution of the body. Ours wants to survive in the short term over the long term. Therefore, the body mobilizes minerals and vitamins to support systems that contribute to short-term survival. This means that long-range systems are affected first when there is a deficiency of a particular mineral. For example, vitamin K is used for blood clotting and not for the prevention of arterial calcification when there is a lack of it. Research and interview on the subject of Bruce Ames. This nicely explains why diseases start after years of lack of vitamins and minerals, many of which are caused by toxins that prevent absorption in plants. Code name, nutritional fiber. You can get by perfectly well without dietary fiber, and it's better without. They are not digested and often prevent the absorption of minerals. An Inuit diet that is devoid of fiber hardly affects them adversely. Fiber may help those whose diet is poor with toxins from plants and processed food. There are no studies that show that fiber helps us in anything. This is a folk legend without logical and scientific basis. Foods with a lot of fiber usually contain a lot of anti-nutritional toxins. Beans, nuts, grains, and more. In fruits, dietary fiber helps moderate the absorption of blood sugar, and indeed ripe fruits are adapted for humans. New substances for a new body? From an evolutionary point of view, it makes sense that certain substances or foods that humans have not historically been exposed to could be harmful to our health. Our bodies have evolved over thousands of years to adapt to foods that have been available throughout most of our evolutionary history. Sudden dietary changes caused by agriculture, food processing, and industrialization can challenge our body's ability to efficiently process and metabolize these new substances. Let's consider fructose, grains, and refined oils as examples. Plus fructose. Although fructose is a natural sugar found in fruits, the amount and form of fructose in the modern diet is significantly different from what our ancestors consumed. High fructose corn syrup, HFCS, a highly concentrated form of fructose, has become a common sweetener in processed foods and beverages. Research has linked excessive fructose consumption to metabolic problems, such as insulin resistance, obesity, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD, Cohen, L., and Moran, Y., 2017. Softik, S., Cohen, De, and Kahn, C.R., 2016. These health problems may be attributed to the fact that fructose is metabolized mainly in the liver, and excess fructose may overload this organ, leading to harmful metabolic byproducts and fat accumulation. Plus cereals. The agricultural revolution about 10,000 years ago led to the widespread growth of cereal grains, which today constitute a big part of many modern diets. However, this relatively short period in evolutionary terms may not have provided enough time for our digestive systems to fully adapt to grain consumption. For example, gluten, a protein found in wheat and other grains, can trigger autoimmune reactions in susceptible individuals, leading to celiac disease. Lammers, K.M., Liu, R., Brownlee, J., Liu, B., Gerard, C., Thomas, K., and Fasano, A., 2008. In addition, some researchers claim that the high carbohydrate content of cereals can contribute to the development of obesity and type 2 diabetes. Cordain, L., Eaton, S.B., Sebastian, A., Mann, N., Lindberg, S., Watkins, B.A., and Brand Miller, J., 2005, plus refined oils. The industrial production of refined vegetable oils introduced a significant change in the types and ratios of the fatty acids in the modern diet. These oils, such as soybean, corn, and sunflower oil, are rich in omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acids. A high ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids has been associated with increased inflammation and a higher risk of chronic diseases, such as cardiovascular disease and cancer. Simopoulos, AP, 2002. Our ancestors probably consumed a more balanced ratio of these fatty acids, which would have promoted general health and reduced inflammation. From an evolutionary perspective, the rapid introduction of new or changing substances such as fructose, grains, and refined oils into the human diet has negative health consequences. Our bodies did not have enough time to adapt to these changes, resulting in various health problems when these substances are consumed. This is what I eat, recommended ancient bread that I eat every day, only plain flour and water. Leave in a bowl for 2 to 3 days. Put in the oven, Ninja 175 degrees is better, for 30 minutes and there is thin bread. After there is sourdough, you don't have to wait 3 days to mix new flour because the natural yeast is already in the sourdough and does the work in a few hours. After a day outside adding new flour, you should put the bowl in the refrigerator so that there will be no mold. In the washing machine there is a large bowl of leavened dough from which you take dough whenever you want and make fresh bread in 25 minutes. Breakfasts that I really like, 2 to 3 plantain bananas in the oven, Ninja is better for 25 minutes at 175 degrees, figs and blueberries, goat yogurt with blueberries, clementines and oranges. Food is not there and just waiting for you to pick it because of the competition for food in nature as well as the desire of plants to survive. There are no situations of food without effort. If there is no effort, you should ask why. Is it poisonous? There is evidence from the archaeological record that the early Homo sapiens and their ancestors consumed bone marrow by examining the marks left on bones found at various prehistoric sites. Marks on bones, such as cut marks, percussion marks, and fracture patterns, can provide insights into the behaviors of early hominids, including their dietary habits. Cut marks on bones indicate that stone tools were used to remove meat from the bones, while percussion marks suggest that bones were intentionally broken. To access the marrow inside, bone marrow is a very nutritious food source, rich in fats, vitamins, and minerals. This behavior apparently played a significant role in human evolution, providing essential nutrients for survival and development. The human brain developed before the invention of fire several hundred thousand years ago. It seems logical that eating the bone marrow of large animals allowed man to easily eat energetic and easy-to-chew food without heating, but they were confused between cause and effect. The reason they ate bone marrow was not because it was nutritious, but because the other animals did not have the opportunity to crack the large bones and man was able to obtain tools to carry out the task. Man worked hard to look for carcasses and then crack the bones and get to bone marrow. The Mongols lived on meat and milk. The Mongols classified the food into two groups. Ulan Ide were red foods, such as meat, eaten mainly in winter and spring. Sagan Ide were white foods, such as dairy products, eaten mainly in summer and autumn. Vegetables were considered a type of grass and called goat food. The Mongols were very disgusted that farmers ate plants that grew in the dirt and were often fertilized with excrement. Today, the life expectancy of the Mongolians, 70, is lower than that of the Japanese, 80 plus. It makes sense that this is because of the addition of flour, alcohol and smoking, which is very common in Mongolia, and also that they do not eat fruit at all. When he is hungry, and he will not drink, except when he is thirsty. Incredibly accurate. The body knows how to signal us very well. 3b. A person will not eat until his belly is full, but at least like a quarter of his fullness. And he shall not drink water in the food, but a little and mixed with wine. And when the food begins to be eaten in his intestines, he drinks what he needs to drink. And he should not drink water much, even when the food is eaten. And he won't eat until he examines himself properly, lest he have to be pierced. You have to eat until you're not hungry. Each person has a different amount. What is important is what is eaten and not how much. The part where it is true that it is not good to drink with food, neither before nor after it. D. A person shall not eat until he walks before eating until his body begins to heat up, or does work, or gets busy with some other activity. The rule of thumb. His body will respond and he will touch every morning until his body starts to feel warm, and he will rest a little until his mind settles down, and he will eat. And if he bathed in broth after a madman, then that's good. And then stays a little, and eats. Not true. This is a casual statement without logic and science. E.C. Forever, when a person eats, he should sit in his place or lean to the left. And he shall not walk nor ride nor touch nor shake his body nor walk until the food in his intestines is eaten. And anyone who travels after his food or is crazy, after all, it brings on himself bad and severe illnesses. The logic is true, but in my opinion it is not accurate and not based on science or observations. And, D, the day and the night, 4 and 20 hours. It is enough for a person to sleep 3 hours, which is 8 hours. And they will be at the end of the night, so that it will be 8 hours from the beginning of his sleep until the sun rises, and he will be found standing from his bed before the sun rises. Relatively accurate. With age, sleep hours decrease. In the tribes they are approximately 7 hours. 7e. A person shall not sleep either on his face, or on his back, but on his side, at the beginning of the night on the left side, and at the end of the night on the right side. And he will not sleep close to eating, but will wait after eating for like 3 or 4 hours. And he will not sleep during the day. Not true. The preferred sleep is on the back with raised knees. This is how the Indians sleep. It supports the back as well as breathing from the FH, and things that laxative the bowels, such as grapes and figs and strawberries and pears and watermelons and the bowels of zucchini and the bowels of cucumbers. A person eats them first, before eating, and will not mix them with the food, but stays a little until they come out of their upper belly, and eat his food. And things that support the bowels, such as pomegranates and periwinkles and apples and crostamlin. I will eat them right away in my diet, and not a lot of them. There are few fruits that are recommended for eating. Anything that causes diarrhea is a sure sign that it is not suitable for humans. 9.7. When a person wants to eat both chicken meat and animal meat, he eats the chicken meat first. As well as eggs and chicken meat, I eat eggs at first. The meat of a thin animal and the meat of a coarse animal, I eat the thin meat first. A person will always prefer the light thing first, and the heavy thing later. Not true. This is an invention. 1.8. On hot days, I eat cold foods, and I don't add much spice, and I eat the vinegar. And on the rainy days, I eat the stewed food, and a lot of spice, and I eat a little of the mustard and the scallions. And in this way, he goes and does in the cold places and in the hot places, in every place and place, as befits him. Hazaza 11:9. There are foods that are extremely bad, and it is proper for a person not to eat them ever, such as the old salty big fish, and the old salty cheese, and the truffle and the mushrooms, and the old salted meat, and wine from it, and a stew that has been left until its smell has dissipated, and any food that smells extremely bad or bitter. These are for the body, like the poison of death. Not true. Fish are great to eat no matter their size. Mushrooms and salt in general are better to avoid. 12 And there are foods that are bad, but not like the first ones to be bad. Therefore, it is appropriate for a person not to eat of them except a little and after many days, and not to accustom himself to be fed by them or to eat them with his food always, such as large fish, and cheese and milk that has been milked for 24 hours, and the meat of large oxen and large old goats, and the beans, the lentils, and the sapphire, and barley bread, and matzah bread, the cabbage, the hay, the onions, the garlic, the mustard, and the radish. Of these sad foods. Partially true. All vegetables, legumes, roots are poisonous to humans. Fermented goat's milk is good for us. Cow's milk is very problematic for most people. 13 It is not appropriate for a person to eat of these except very little, and on rainy days. But not during the rainy days, he will not eat from them at all. And the beans and lentils alone, it is not appropriate to eat them, neither on hot days nor on rainy days. And the daluin, we eat a little of them on hot days. Hamzada. Yid. 10. And there are foods that are bad, and not like these. And they are the waterfowl, and the little doves, and the dates, and bread toasted in oil or bread that has been soaked in oil, and the semolina that has been sifted until there is no more smell left in it, and the stock in the morice. It is not proper to eat too much of these. And a person who is wise and conquers his desire, and will not follow his lust and will not eat anything of all the mentioned, unless we need it for medicine. After all, this is a hero. Partially true. The waterfowl and the pigeons are superior to us. 12:11. A person will never deprive himself of the fruits of the wild trees, and will not eat much of them even dry, and we don't need to say wet, but before all their needs are cooked, they are like swords to the body. And the carobs, bad for the world. And the chutney fruits are bad, and no one eats them but a little in the hot days and in the chumman places. And the figs, the grapes, and the almonds are good forever, whether wet or dry, and a person eats from them all he needs. But eating them will not continue, even though they are better than all the fruits of the wild. Partially true. Almonds are really poisonous to us. 16:12. Honey and wine are bad for the young and good for the old, especially during the rainy days. And a person should eat on hot days, 2/3 of what he eats on rainy days. Honey is good for us. Wine is not good for us. 17:13. A person will always try to keep his bowels soft all his days, and he will be close to a little diarrhea. And this is a great rule in medicine, that as long as the vision is avoided or comes out with difficulty, many patients come. Far from true. The opposite. He probably suffered from something close to diarrhea because of the vegetables and the like he ate. Should be hard. Science supports this. 18 And what would a person lose from his stomach, if we put in a little effort, if he were a guy? He would eat salty snacks seasoned with oil and morice and salt in the morning, without a mouthful. Or he will drink water from a turnip or cabbage shellac with oil and salt and spices. And if he was an old man, he would drink honey mixed with water in a broth in the morning, and he would wait for about 4 hours, and then he would eat his meal. He will do this day after day, 3 or 4 days if necessary, until his stomach burns. Vegetable oil is really poisonous to us. 19:YD, and another rule they said in the creation of the body, as long as a person exercises and touches a lot and is not full, and his bowels are loose, no illness comes to him and his strength is strengthened, even if he eats the foods of the bad. 2. And whoever sits still and does not exercise, or whoever pauses his piercings or whose hearing is hard, even if he eats good foods and keeps himself according to medicine, all his days will be in pain and his strength will fail. and coarse food is like the poison of death to the body of every person, and it is the main thing for all sick people. Invention. Most of the illnesses that come to a person are not because of bad foods, or because he fills his stomach and eats coarse food, even from good foods. He who Solomon says in his wisdom, guards his mouth and his tongue, guards his soul from trouble, Proverbs chapter 21 verse 23, that is, he guards his mouth from eating bad food or from fasting, and his tongue from speaking except for his needs. Most illnesses originate from the food they eat that is not suitable for humans. This is the correct part. 21:16. The way of bathing, that a person enters the bath from 7 days to 7 days, and he will not enter near eating and not when he is hungry, but when the food begins to digest. And he bathes his whole body in broth that does not burn the body, and only his head in broth that burns the body in. And then he will bathe his body in Fusharin, and then in Fusharin from the Fusharin, until he bathes in the cold. And he will not pass over his head at all, neither lukewarm nor chilled. And he will not bathe in the cold, on rainy days. And he shall not bathe until he sweats and his whole body is exhausted, and shall not linger in the bath. But when he sweats and his body becomes stiff, it will wash off and come out. Partially true. A cold shower is good for us. Science and logic support this. A meal on the shoulders of giants. The first way that seemed very logical to me was Esther Gokul's, who even wrote about correct posture. But she solved it by looking at how the ancients sat and stood, and this was something I hadn't thought of. But he was also genius for the solution of what are we supposed to eat, what is right for us in general, to look at what the ancients ate and how they behaved and moved. Not to copy everything, but to use logic and copy what is good for us. The book that explained to me that there might be a problem with wheat after it didn't seem logical to me that only some people are sensitive to gluten is Belly of Wheat by Dr. William David. I listened to it on Audible and it is also available in Hebrew. Another book that explains the science behind fat and meat is The Big Bluff of Cholesterol. Through the book, we understand that fat is actually good for us from animals and not from plants, and this is connected to what the ancients used to eat. When there are a cross between logic and science and historical observation, then there is cracking. And then when I tell about these books to my cousin from the Arab world, he throws me a good book called The Paradox of the Plants by a heart surgeon from the USA. Here was really a breakthrough. Gendry said that there are all kinds of toxins in all kinds of roots, leaves and in general things from the plant so that we don't eat them. Gendry's mistake was that he said that some plants have it in a problematic way, but the truth is that all plants have it. He really was a trailblazer. But the book's recommendation should have been to avoid plant food altogether, except for ripe fruit and sourness, soaking and sprouting, which significantly reduced the toxins that a family one of them is the lactans. It was crazy surprising, but when I researched the toxins I found out he was right. When I removed plants from my menu, the little annoying stomach aches I had completely disappeared. Poof, they are gone. Then there was an amazing combination of science, with logic and a personal experiment on myself. There is cracking in a free diet. After that I came across a lecture by a really smart doctor from Australia, Paul Mason, who like me goes with what is right and not with the current. He explains in a scientific way what effects plant toxins do to our body. His way is different from mine because it is based only on science without a lot of logic and evolution. I combine everything even though I am weak in biological science, but I do know how to recognize sages like Paul, who excelled at a Eucharistic university in Australia, and yes, these things are important and say a lot. In every book I've read, a lecture from the internet, hearing is usually 70% true and 30% false. It requires a serious diagnosis to take what is true from each book, and that's how I put together Free Nutrition. A nice test for food. Sour or spicy? If the answer is yes, then it is a free food and suitable for humans. Of course, eating them cooked is better, but this is just to check whether the food is suitable for humans. This does not mean not to eat the other foods, it is just a tool that clarifies what is suitable for us. Humans began to use fire in the last few hundred thousand years compared to several million years of evolution. If a certain food is not possible to eat without cooking or heating, it means that it entered our diet recently, such as bread, plants, etc. All types of meat can be eaten raw. Therefore, they are suitable for humans. Ripe fruits. No action needs to be taken. Therefore, they are suitable for humans. Fish. Edible moving fish. Therefore, suitable for humans. Grains. It is impossible to eat them without cooking or baking. Therefore, not suitable for humans. Leaves. Bitter or sour. Therefore, not suitable for humans. Nuts. Somewhat bitter. Therefore, not suitable for humans. Legumes, hard and bitter without cooking and also toxic, therefore not suitable for humans. Milk. You can drink milk straight from the goat, therefore suitable for humans. Cow's milk too, but many people are sensitive to it because of its difference from the milk they have been drinking for thousands of years. Vegetables, most of them bitter or uncooked spicy, not suitable for humans.